Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker. It's official. March 31st in Cardiff, Wales, a heavyweight title unification fight. Both fighters in London this week to promote the bout, Nnamdi. Let's hear from the two combatants. First, AJ, Anthony Joshua, he refutes accusations that he has a glass chin.
The rumors that you have heard, they're fake news. Hand on my heart. So PR, whatever you want to use it for, is between you and your camp. But in terms of facts, I speak on those three times. And as I said, what I have learned in those times of adversity and going through storm is that it will take more than any human to stop me on this journey.
Now let's hear from Joseph Parker, the WBO champion. Parker sizes up Anthony Joshua.
He is a good fighter and he's got a lot of support, as you can see. And he does a lot of good things and some things that aren't that good when he's fighting. But I think this is my time. I think it's my destiny to be here, to be part of this major event. And I feel like it's my time to put up a great challenge. And I truly feel I'm going to win.
Nnamdi, what's the money for Joshua Parker?
Joseph Parker, the WBO champion from New Zealand, will make $9.6 million, Sonny.
That's good money.
Well, that's the biggest he's ever made. $9.6 million is no chicken change, you know.
And what about AJ?
Anthony Joshua will make a guarantee of $20.6 million. When you throw in the pay-per-view and the other cards from foreign TV and all that stuff, homeboy can walk away with close to $35 million from this one fight, Sonny.
The trash talk has already begun. Parker called AJ king of steroids. What do you make of that?
He might as well call him king of fufu, you know. Well, he's just trying to get under the skin of Anthony Joshua because he's also called him a man with a glass chin. And he also said that Tyson Fury will walk him from the dressing room into the ring. These are all the things Joseph Parker is doing to throw off Anthony Joshua. All these things will not make any difference because, one, Tyson Fury will not help you fight in the ring, you know. So homeboy has to be really cool and calm and go in there, seek and destroy.
What about the broadcaster for Joshua Parker?
Well, he has a deal with Showtime, which means if there's another deal, say with HBO, if HBO is offering $2.5 million to show the fight in the U.S., Showtime must match that offer. If not, HBO is about to steal Anthony Joshua with a multi-million dollar fight package if Showtime will not match the offer. But we believe in the fight game that Showtime will match the offer because Showtime needs to make the fight between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. Showtime owns Wilder. But if AJ goes to HBO, it's going to be very difficult to make the fight. But AJ needs to go to HBO because HBO has the money and HBO is lacking in superstars as we speak.
You mentioned Deontay Wilder, Nnamdi. 4 weeks before Joshua Parker, Wilder will put his WBC heavyweight title on the line at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Another easy fight for Deontay Wilder. You know, he's fighting Luis Ortiz from Cuba. Luis Ortiz is okay. Luis Ortiz is a southpaw. He's almost 40 years old. And a knockout of Luis Ortiz will not mean anything to fight fans in America.
Voice of America!
If he struggles with Luis Ortiz, then the fight with Anthony Joshua will not even sell. Deontay Wilder must step up his game and fight good fighters, contenders that American fight fans will say, okay, our all-American heavyweight can now stand out there and take Anthony Joshua. A win March 3 at the Barclays Arena in Brooklyn, New York, against Luis Ortiz from Cuba is just nothing. It's just an ordinary fight, Sonny.
Let's go to the Bukom Boxing Arena in Ghana's capital, Accra, Nnamdi. First world title fight of the year, already being described as maybe the best fight of 2018. Isaac Dogbe delights a partisan crowd in Accra. Talk about that bout.
Bukom Boxing Arena, hands down, is the best boxing arena in Africa, Sonny. It was packed. It was action. People say Dogbe is the rebirth of Azuma Nelson. Sonny, you know how worried I was before the fight? I was worried because he said he was going to push for the knockout. And I was worried because when you're fighting at home, a lot of pressure, taking care of family members for tickets, then you lose focus. But he did not. Two knockdowns, Sonny. Round two and round five. And that left hook, Sonny, that's what we call in the fight game, power left hook, man. And this is the best we've seen for 2018. This fight will go down as one of the fights of 2018. What we see now in the fight game is star rise, you know. We have not seen this since the days of Azuma Nelson or Bazooka Ike Kwate. What we have now is a young, undefeated, super bantamweight that the champions are all scared to fight, you know. So nobody can run away from him now. It's a mandatory fight. He's the number one contender. The champion must fight him. Jesse Magdaleno, the current WBO super bantamweight champion, and Isaac Dogbe, the current interim champion, had a very tough workout in the gym. And this workout, Dogbe was just only 4-0. He only had four fights. And from what was described in the gym, it was a war. So what the champion knows that if he goes in now with a man that just got a knockout, is undefeated, and I've tasted his power in the gym, I will be running fast because this African is hungry and is ready to come and take my title. So I don't think Top Rank, Bob Arum, the promoter of Jesse Magdaleno, will put the champion in there right away against a hot African super bantamweight.
Another Ghanaian fighter, Richard Comey, his star not quite on the same rise as Dogbe. Tell us about Comey, Nnamdi.
Richard Comey was set to fight Alejandro Luna February 10th. That fight now has been canceled and postponed because the champion, Mickey Garcia, and Sergio Lipnet were supposed to headline that card. And Sergio Lipnet back out of the fight because of hand injury. So that means the whole card has been canceled. We have to look for another date for Richard Comey against Alejandro Luna, a fight that will determine who will take on Robert Easter, who is the IBF lightweight champion.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And Nnamdi will be back on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports with more hard-hitting boxing commentary. Sudan and host Morocco have advanced to the quarterfinals at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament, or CHAN, for locally based players on the continent. Both teams posted victories Wednesday in Casablanca. The Moroccans beat Guinea 3-1. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Moroccan striker Ayoub El Kabi, who scored all three goals for the home team. El Kabi now has 5 goals for the tournament after just 2 matches, which equals the most goals scored in a CHAN. Zambia's Given Singaluma also had 5 goals in 2009. And Sudan defeated Mauritania 1-0 in Casablanca on a 30th-minute goal by Wally El Dean. Joining us once again is our new sports social media reporter, Brianna Muir. Sporty greetings, Brianna.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Kevin Durant is teaming up with YouTube to provide an assist to a couple of his Warrior teammates and a few other NBA athletes to launch their very own YouTube channels. Durant launched his very own YouTube channel 9 months ago called 35 Media. 35 Media focuses on content directly from athletes. His company plans to help JaVale McGee and Nick Young create their very own. Durant's channel has almost 600,000 subscribers and more than 21 million video views. Durant and his business partner also plan to develop sports programming, and his first project will feature NBA superfan Michael Rapaport. In a statement, Kevin Durant said, "It was natural for me to want to show other athletes what they can achieve on YouTube and to ensure my 35 Media team and I can be a resource for those athletes." Durant also said, "I've had an incredible experience on YouTube, engaging with fans all around the world and sharing different parts of my life." Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Brianna. Kevin Durant scored 19 points Wednesday night as the defending NBA champion Warriors beat the host Chicago Bulls 119-112. The Warriors tied a club record with their 14th consecutive road victory. Golden State's dynamic backcourt of Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry combined for 68 points, with Thompson scoring a season-high 38 and Curry 30. In other basketball news, the NBA has suspended Houston Rockets players Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green for 2 games for what it says was their hostile verbal altercation with several players in the Los Angeles Clippers locker room earlier this week. The Clippers beat the visiting Rockets 113-102, and you might say things got heated. The final minutes of the game were filled with ejections, technical fouls, swearing and bumping, and tempers clearly carried over after the game. A sports reporter who's always on his best behavior, Dan Friedel, joins us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be here again to chat with you about the upcoming weekend of the National Football League Conference Championship Games.
And I am looking forward to those NFL playoff games, Dan. But first, Trevor Ariza, been disciplined by the NBA. I remember when he played for the Wizards right here in Washington, Dan. He always struck me as kind of a calm, cool, and collected player. Out of character for Ariza to maybe spout off a bit in the locker room.
I'd say so, but you never really know how these guys behave in more private circumstances. This was definitely one of the big stories of the first part of the week in the NBA. The rematch between Chris Paul and his old team, and the reaction between the Clippers and the Rockets after the game. It was a pretty wild sounding night.
Well, let's look forward to the National Football League playoffs, Dan. 4 teams remain in the running for that much-coveted Super Bowl trophy. I'll run down the matchups on Sunday, and then maybe you can tell our VOA listeners how these teams got to this stage of the NFL playoffs. The American Football Conference Championship Game, or AFC, will be played in Foxborough, Massachusetts, just outside Boston. The New England Patriots, the reigning Super Bowl champions, will host the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in Sunday's second game, the NFC Championship game in the National Football Conference, the Philadelphia Eagles will be at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Why don't you begin with that New England-Jacksonville game, Dan?
Well, one of the storylines heading into this weekend will be the 4 starting quarterbacks for these teams that remain, who are vying for a chance to get to the Super Bowl. One of them is perhaps the most famous quarterback of all time, and that's Tom Brady of the Patriots, and he's starting in his 12th career AFC championship game, which is just remarkable when you think about the amount of time that he's been in the league and how productive he's been as the quarterback for the Patriots. Of course, the first time around, he was in the game in kind of unusual circumstances as the backup quarterback when the number one quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, got hurt early in the season and Brady stepped in, this unheralded skinny guy out of the University of Michigan that was not a highly touted draft pick coming out of college, stepped in and led the Patriots to the Super Bowl where they had an upset win over the St. Louis Rams. Brady obviously has gone on to become one of the top two or three quarterbacks in NFL history, and here he is with another chance to get to the Super Bowl. It would be his eighth Super Bowl if they win the game against the Jaguars. And then, on the other hand, the other three quarterbacks that are in the conference finals are relatively unknown quarterbacks who have not had a ton of success, and Brady will be going up against Jacksonville's Blake Bortles, who was a top-ranked quarterback coming out of college in the state of Florida, but hasn't really put together the career that many projected for him. So those are clearly the two guys who are going to be watched in this game between Jacksonville and New England. Interestingly, Brady didn't practice yesterday because of a sore right hand, but the Patriots are not anticipating that that will keep him out of the game this weekend.
Dan, Tom Brady has attracted a lot of attention in his career for his longevity. And in recent years, for his diet, you might say it's almost a Spartan-type diet. He restricts certain foods that he ingests. Do you credit his diet with maybe him still playing in the National Football League?
I mean, nobody knows for sure. If the diet that he uses, which I think is trying to keep his organs healthy and not inflamed and able to recover quickly after taking hits on Sunday, he's talked a lot about stretching and pliability and his Tom Brady workout regimen that he put together with a trainer in the Boston area. Certainly, being in the best condition you can be as you get into your 40s as a top-level athlete is important. And, you know, we have seen some NFL players make it into their 40s, especially the kickers who don't really take a beating on every play like the quarterback does. But, of course, you know, players like Joe Montana have gotten into their late 30s and 40s, and especially the way that the quarterbacks are getting protected a little bit more in the current NFL compared to how they got hit a lot after every time they threw the ball in the 70s and 60s. I think that makes a difference to a quarterback's longevity. But, you know, the regimen that Brady has put himself through has got to be helpful in a real way and helpful perhaps in a mental way where he feels like he's in the best condition he can be to execute his job. So, more power to him if he can make it work for another 3 or 4 years. And he'll actually have to make it work because the 49ers traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers earlier this year. And there's not an established backup quarterback in New England. So Brady will have to make it another 3 or 4 years before Bill Belichick can groom a new quarterback.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with sports reporter Dan Friedell about the upcoming conference championship games in the National Football League. Dan, still with that New England-Jacksonville contest, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a club based in warm weather Florida, now travel north to New England, where it can get quite cold this time of year. Could the weather be a factor on Sunday?
Well, surely the weather could be a factor. The Jaguars, however, managed to do just fine in Pittsburgh over the weekend, defeating the Steelers in one of the highest scoring offensive games in the history of the NFL playoffs. The game wound up just a short, you know, small deficit that the Steelers were never really able to overcome. But the offense for the Jaguars is not the kind of offense that's dependent on sunny weather. They have a bruising running back in Leonard Fournette, who's a rookie from Louisiana State University, one of the toughest runners in the NFL currently. And the Jaguars defense is one of the most stout defenses in the NFL. We talked about Yannick Ngakoue last year, who's one of the most ferocious defensive ends in the NFL as far as going after the quarterback. It will be a good matchup to see if he can get to Tom Brady and maybe rattle the old pro in New England this Sunday. So the Jaguars are built to do well in bad weather. They've got good running. They've got one of the best defenses. They've got a good pass rush. But, of course, the Patriots have been there so many times before that you've got to think they've got a huge advantage.
Let's turn to that second game on Sunday, Dan. The Philadelphia Eagles will host the Minnesota Vikings. How do you see that contest?
Well, this is the other game that has two relatively little-known quarterbacks in Case Keenum bringing the Minnesota Vikings to Philadelphia to play against Nick Foles and the Eagles. Now, Nick Foles had a great season a few years ago when he was the starting quarterback for the Eagles, but he kind of fell out of favor. He was traded to another team, and the number one quarterback in the NFL for the first half of the season was second-year player Carson Wentz. And Wentz, diving into the end zone in a game late in the season, tore his ACL and is out for the playoffs, which was really disappointing for Philadelphia fans who thought they might have a chance to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in over 10 years when the Eagles lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots in the end of the 2004 season. And Foles is the kind of guy who does well enough to win and sometimes does not so well that they could lose. He's not really a dynamic player like Wentz is. And even though the Eagles have some good weapons around him, like Jay Ajayi, who was their leading rusher last week, and Nelson Aguilar, who's a good outside threat, it's probably not the best situation. Of course, the Eagles are at home. They'll have their support of all those ferocious Eagles fans who movie fans might remember from one of the top movies a few years ago was the Silver Linings Playbook. Which followed a family of Philadelphia Eagles fans and all of their superstitions with Jennifer Lawrence and one of the other characters were, you know, following the Eagles games.
Bradley Cooper.
And Bradley Cooper, exactly. And the family had to sit in the right spots if they were going to watch the game without anything terrible happening. The Eagles have could be in better shape if they had Wentz, but they clearly have been the strongest team in the NFC this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see this turn out to be a Super Bowl as a rematch from the Super Bowl from about a dozen years ago with the Eagles and the Patriots playing again in Minnesota. Of course, that would be disappointing for the Minnesota fans who are hoping to be able to cheer on their team playing in their home stadium in their first Super Bowl in 3 decades. The Vikings were one of the top teams in the NFL in the 70s. Making it to the Super Bowl, and they haven't been back. So, of course, the Vikings fans are hoping that the Vikings can pull off a win on the road and get back to home and play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, which would be quite a sight.
Dan Friedel, thank you, Dan. Great chatting with you again. And this reminder for our VOA listeners, the Super Bowl in American-style football will be played on Sunday, February 4th, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that wraps up the January 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton.
I get it.
And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The resignation in November of President Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe has opened a window of opportunity for the long-suffering Zimbabwean people. The nearly four decades-long rule by Mugabe was marked by economic devastation, violence, disregard for the rule of law, and contempt for fundamental human rights. In 2001, the United States began imposing targeted measures against the government of Zimbabwe, including financial sanctions against selected individuals and entities, a ban on transfers of defense items and services, and a suspension of non-humanitarian government-to-government assistance. Nevertheless, as U.S. Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Stephanie Sullivan noted recently in testimony before Congress, the United States has maintained a strong relationship with the Zimbabwean people. Since Zimbabwe's independence in 1980, the United States has provided significant development assistance in the areas of health, food security, education, and economic opportunity for Zimbabwe citizens, though none of the U.S. foreign assistance now involves direct funding to the government. Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary Sullivan said the change in Zimbabwe's government offers an opportunity for reform that could allow the United States to engage in ways we have not recently been able to do. That means, she emphasized, that current President Emmerson Mnangagwa must demonstrate his commitment to a democratic, just, healthy, and prosperous Zimbabwe. The U.S. policy for expanded engagement requires a focus on constitutional democracy, free and fair elections, respect for human rights and the rule of law, and an improved trade and investment climate. The country has a strong civil society and an experienced political opposition whose voices must count in charting a path forward, Ms. Sullivan said. The military needs to return to its barracks, and state institutions should be demilitarized. Perpetrators of abuses against civilians should be held accountable, regardless of party affiliation. And the government must engage in hard economic reform, including addressing budget deficits and reducing corruption. If President Mnangagwa wants improved diplomatic relations and access to international assistance and cooperation, particularly with the United States, his government must first implement reforms, declared Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary Sullivan. The United States stands ready to help the government and the people of Zimbabwe to achieve these goals. Fundamentally, this will be about the people of Zimbabwe, she added. We want to support their aspirations for a country that can reach its full potential.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.